We continue our study today, a deeper relationship with Jesus through our knowledge of Jesus. And today we're in John chapter 15. Begin reading in verse 1. The title of the message is Lessons from the Vine. Would you stand with me in reverence and respect for the Word of God? Jesus speaking says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of your vineyard. Thank you, Lord, for your loving patience, for your grooming, and for your provision. And we thank you most of all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the true vine. And now, Lord, I pray that you will speak to each of us through your word this morning. Give us insight and understanding that we did not have before, so that we may be made closer to you. Lord, we do love you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. To begin with, let's start by understanding the three persons that are mentioned in the sermon text today. Number one, there's the true vine. The true vine is... No, that's wrong. The true vine is... You still don't get it. The true vine is Jesus Christ. Who else would it be? The true vine is Jesus. It's okay. You can speak. You can participate in the message this morning. The true vine is Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus is the source of all good fruit that will be produced. If you're going to produce good fruit, or if you're going to bear good fruit, it's going to be because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the other person mentioned in the text is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is, of course, God the Father. He is the farmer who takes care of the vine as well as the branches. He cultivates it. He provides for it. And his purpose is getting the maximum harvest possible from that vine and branches. And then finally, we have the branches. Now, the branches are us, the saved, those who are in Jesus Christ. And so today I want to begin with, number one, as a branch, you're going to bear fruit. The quality of your fruit depends on the quality of your vine. I'm going to say that again. The quality of your fruit depends on the quality of your vine. Now, there are three vines that are mentioned in the Bible, okay? Vine number one is found in the Old Testament. It is the vine of Israel, God's chosen people. Mentioned in the book of Isaiah, and God describes Israel like this, this choice vineyard and a choice vine. He says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2, he said, I dug it up and cleared out its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst, and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. The vine that he's talking about there is, of course, Israel, God's chosen people. Now we go back in the history of Israel and we see what kind of vine that they were. They were to be God's message to the world. They were to present their God to the world. But they did not do that. As a matter of fact, they forsook their God. God gave them everything that they needed to flourish. And when he moved them into the promised land, they forsook their God and took up the God of the Canaanites. When he gave them their land, they turned their backs on God, the God that delivered them from Egypt. They turned their backs on the God that had delivered their enemies into their hand. They turned their backs on God, period. And listen, you can't be part of God's vineyard if you turn your back on God. Of course, with that in mind, we know the fruit that they produced. Their fruit was hypocrisy. They built a religion that lacked love. They built a religion that lacked God. The first commandment was, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And they didn't come anywhere close to that. Second vine I want to share with you is the vine of the earth. There is a vine of the earth, and it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 14, verse 19. As receiving the judgment of God. Now Revelation 14, 19 says, so the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now the vine of the earth, of course, that we're talking about is the world system. This world system is what we see today. It's the vine of ungodliness where as today, in this culture, you're required to be a closet Christian. Now, there are a lot of things in the past that put you in the closet, but this is a new thing for me, being a closet Christian, and I'm not going to be one. I'll just be up front with you. But that's the vine of the earth. The vine of the earth is the vine of immorality, requiring that you accept every sexual perversion imaginable unto man. I don't want to be a part of that either. This vine, I believe, is the fruit of this vine, I believe, is nailed in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness and denying its power. And from such people turn away. That is the fruit of the world. This fruit is what is so sought after today in the United States of America. It's the vine that says do anything that it do whatever it takes to get ahead. It's the vine that says more money is the ultimate goal. It's the vine that says there is no God. But it's also the vine that will end in the judgment of Almighty God. And then finally, vine number three there is the true vine. The true vine is, of course, Jesus Christ that we mentioned. And Jesus describes himself as true, the true vine, with a purpose. And not only means that Jesus is not just without falsehood, it carries the idea of integrity and trustworthiness. That if you as the branch attach yourself to the vine of Jesus Christ, the fruit that you produce will not be the fruit of this world. The fruit that you produce will not be the fruit of Israel. The fruit that you produce will be good and acceptable fruit. But understand, it's at this point that you have to decide what vine will you be attached to. You are the branch. Amen? If you're a child of God, you are the branch. Amen? We got to pick this up just a little bit. Okay? As the branch, here are your options. Number one, the fruitless branch will be removed. I want to say that again. No, let's say this together. The fruitless branch will be removed. If you do not bear fruit, you can expect to not be around very long. We know that these people that are fruitless, we know that they're saved. Because Jesus described this branch as being in me. That branch that in me that does not bear fruit, the vine dresser takes away. The problem is not that they're not saved. The problem is that they are not bearing fruit. Listen. Everybody listening. Fruitlessness is not normal. I'm going to say that again. Fruitlessness without fruit is not normal. Okay? It's not the way a branch is designed. It's not the purpose for which a branch is designed. So as we go through this message today, I want to ask you to take a personal accounting. What does my fruit look like? Now, if there is no fruit, here's the things you've got to investigate. Maybe there's a health problem. You know, sick plants never produce good fruit. You know that? You see the blight of a farmer? We used to grow soybeans and sometimes the fields would not receive adequate rain and they would just shrivel up and die and not produce anything. For you and I, the health problem may be sin. Listen, sin is one of the worst things that you can have in your life that will prevent you from producing, from bearing fruit. It gets in the way. Maybe it's not just a sin problem. Maybe it's a nutrition problem. Being raised on the farm, one of the things that we did, we would fertilize the crop. And it was amazing when, for rice, for example, we would put fertilizer on the rice. And airplanes would fly over us. The crop dusters would fly over us, and the rice would look just a little bit peaked. But the day after we put on that fertilizer, you could look out there, and it was the most plush of green. And you'd think, "Wow, what a difference!" I want to ask you. What's your nutrition like? What are you feeding yourself? TV won't get it. Okay? You and I both know there is a mission in the world today that's spearheaded by Hollywood that wants to deny, disrupt, and tear down everything that pertains to God. They want to rob you of your spiritual relationship of God. They want to fill your mind with sex and drugs and godlessness. That's their goal. And if that's what you watch, listen, if that's what you watch, that's what you're feeding your soul. I'm a believer. There are things that I can't watch anymore on TV. I mean, some of the language, just the language, is so appalling that it breaks my heart. And I'll be honest with you, it makes me extremely uncomfortable to sit there because I think, God, you're with me and this is not where we want to be. Listen, if Hollywood's movies are what you're feeding your soul, no wonder you're not bearing fruit. And what happens to that branch that does not bear fruit? The vine dresser comes along and, of course, he begins to cut away. Now, if you've ever nursed plants, you understand this idea. There are some branches on those plants that haven't produced anything. They never will produce anything. All they do is sit there and suck the nutrients out of the plant, right? That's what the vine dresser takes away. And that's the warning that you and I have to take to heart today. That we're not around for our good looks, contrary to popular belief. We're not here because we look good sitting on a pew, or I'm not here because I look good standing behind this pulpit. I'm here to bear fruit. And if I do not bear fruit, then there's no reason for the vine dresser to keep me around. You've got to ask yourself that question. Should he keep me around? And I'm not pointing a finger to you. I'm asking that question of all of us. Where's the fruit? If it's not there, something needs to change. But let's go to the brighter side, okay? You ready for something more positive? There are not only fruitless branches, there are fruitful branches. That's what we are, amen? That's what we want to be, right? Because we know that if we're fruitful, that God's going to look at us and He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Everything is good. Man, you're doing okay." That's not how it is. For the fruitful branch, for some reason I'm having a lot of trouble saying fruitful. For the fruitful branch, the vine dresser doesn't just look at it and say, "Okay, that's pretty good. I'll accept that." The vine dresser looks and says, "Okay, that's good, but if we do a little surgery and prune this branch, he'll do even better." And make no mistake, the goal of any vine dresser, just like the goal of any farmer, is to get the greatest crop that can possibly be received. I mean, doesn't that sound reasonable? If you're going to go through the trouble of planting seed and raising a crop, don't you want to get the most at harvest time that you can possibly get? That's the idea here. And because of that, he prunes or he cuts back the growth of that plant that's taking the healthy nutrients that would go to bearing fruit. He's removing that. Now, I want to stop here for just a moment and I want to tell you something. Pruning is not punishment. Have you ever been to that place where you're going through an extremely difficult time? And you say, "Well, God must be punishing me for something, but I don't know what it is." I want to tell you what I've always found with God. God has always told me why He whips me before He whips me. You know what I mean? If God punishes me, I've got to say that every time that I've ever been punished by God, He's made it clear, this is why. This is why I'm doing it. But there have been times in my life that I've thought, "Why am I going through this? Lord, this is hard. Lord, I don't understand." And I come back to this scripture. See, we all come to that point in life when we need a little pruning. And God's not being mean. He's not trying to tear you up and make your life miserable. He's trying to bring you to the point that you can be all you can be as His child. And you know, we should have that same desire. "Lord, I don't really like this. Lord, I really don't want to go through this. But Lord, I want to be all I can be for Your glory." That's the idea here. You see, that's what Paul faced in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by abundance of revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure concerning this thing. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." Please, Lord. Please. Get me out of this. And He said to me, My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I'm not going to take it. But I'm going to provide you with the grace. So the next time, you know, you're going through that difficult problem. You don't know why you're there. You back up and you ask that question. Lord, am I being punished? And God doesn't respond. Then go here. Because there's encouragement here. You see, I'm encouraged to know that God doesn't just leave me to my own. That God wants me to be all that I can possibly be in Him. Isn't that what you want to be? Isn't that why you send your children to school? To higher education? Isn't that why you discipline and guide your children? Because you want them to be all they can be. Well, let me tell you, your love for your child pales in comparison to the love that God has for His children. So before you become all disappointed, you understand that God is doing what He's doing for your benefit if you're being pruned. That's why James chapter 1 verse 2 says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I tell you, when you're being pruned, it's hard to be happy about it. How many of you have ever said, whoo, glory to God, I'm being pruned? You just can't. You know, let's be real. Let's be real. But just knowing, may be hard for me to rejoice right now, but just knowing that God's doing this for my good and doing to make me better makes going through that pruning a lot easier. You know? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. That's where God wants to take us. So if you're in that position today of, you know, it's tough, but I know I'm not being punished, then you're probably being pruned. Be of good cheer. God's got better things in store for you. Amen? Finally, let's talk about the most fruitful branch. Think about the most fruitful branch is that if you're going to be all you can be, if you're going to bear the most fruit, you're going to have to abide. Point of this whole scripture. But you need to understand your requirement. Your requirement, everybody's attention, your requirement as a child of God, as a branch that is attached to the vine Jesus Christ, your job is not to produce fruit. Nowhere in this text did it say you've got to produce fruit. It says you have to bear fruit. There is a difference between producing fruit and bearing fruit. You see, in producing fruit, that means you bring something into existence. Bearing fruit very simply means holding it. If you ever looked at an apple tree, what do the branches do? They just hold the fruit. What are the branches there for? They're there to hold the fruit. They get the nourishment and everything they need from the main part of the tree or the vine, and they transmit that, those nutrients and all that to the fruit that's being produced. But they just sit there and hold the fruit. Here's where we get messed up. We think, there's no fruit in my life. I'm going to fix that. Can't do it. How many of you have said, I'm going to do better? I don't know how many times I've heard people say, you know, well, Brother Doug, we've fallen out of church and we've just made a commitment. We're going to do better. They last about a month and it's like, where'd they go? Because your commitment does not produce fruit. What produces the fruit or what allows you to bear fruit? It's your attachment to the vine. Your mission is not to produce fruit. Your mission is to be attached to Jesus Christ. And if you are attached to Jesus Christ, you cannot help but to produce good fruit. The point of this whole message series is your personal relationship with Jesus. If you have a prayer life, a study life, if you are what you're called to be, attached to Jesus Christ, if He's the priority of your life, I dare you, try not to produce fruit. You can't do it. It's impossible. So, Brother Doug, what are you telling me? I'm telling you, if you want to bear fruit, you better look at your relationship with Jesus Christ. If there is a fruit problem, there is a relationship problem. Does that make sense? That's where this points to. You see, I can't be right with Jesus and not be healthy, spiritually speaking. That's why we, you know, let's be fruit inspectors for a minute, okay? Now, everybody on this side and everybody over here, we're going to inspect the fruit of these people right here. Okay? Are you with me? Amen? Come on, let's go. No, we're not. Okay? We're not going to inspect their fruit. We're going to inspect our own personal fruit. Okay? Let's look at us. We're the branch. We're the ones that know if it's present or not. If it's not present, there's a relationship problem. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Is there love? Is there love in your life? It says God is love according to Scripture. You cannot be attached to Jesus Christ and not love. Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there long-suffering? You see the branch filling up here? And listen, if you're being pruned, you might not have the joy right now, but you have the long-suffering. If you're attached to Jesus, you say, if this is what's necessary, Lord, I'm going to go through it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. You got up this morning, you say, praise the Lord, what a beautiful day. Or did you say, oh no, it's morning? What's going on inside? You see, this fruit, fruit you really can't see, but you know it's there. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? To God. Let me tell you, what's your church attendance like? Ooh, Brother Doug, let's talk real. Are you faithful? I know there's still folks that stay home because of COVID. I understand that and appreciate your position. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who want to go everywhere else but church. You're not being faithful. Okay? Where's the fruit? Gentleness, self-control. Is it present? Against such there is no law. Is it there? Is it there? If it's not, you better check. You know, there are two ends to a branch. There's the end that bears the fruit and the end that's attached. If there's no fruit, you better check the end that's supposed to be attached to Jesus. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Is the fruit of thanksgiving and praise there? Fruit of thanksgiving and praise there? If it's not, it should be. Should be. My challenge. Bottom line. This has been a message to save people. It's good for us to take an accounting on occasion. And the only one that can truly take an accounting of you is you. Is there fruit present? Fruit of the Spirit. If not, it's because you're not abiding. You don't have to look at the problem. I can't figure out what the problem is. The problem is you're not abiding. It's here. What's the solution? Abide. Get connected to the vine. Because by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What's God's point of keeping us around? That we bear a bumper crop of fruit. Okay? Comes down to your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Folks, you're connected to the wrong vine. Bless your heart, you're connected to the wrong vine, and it's not going to end well. But you're here, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but you take an honest look and you say, hey, there's no fruit. There's no love. There's no joy. There's no peace. All that stuff is missing. The reason it's missing is because of your connection. Maybe we need to reconnect today. Maybe you're here, you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Invite you to come. You're here and you just need to talk to Jesus. The altar's open. I'm going to leave those decisions before you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Father, we're reminded we're supposed to bear fruit. That means that we hold the fruit, not produce it. And the only way we can hold the fruit is through our connection with you. So, Lord, strengthen our connection. Help us, Lord, to draw near to you. Help us, Lord, that at Victory Missionary Baptist Church there will be a bumper crop this year. Faithfulness, goodness, kindness of love, and all the spiritual fruit that should be present. Lord, we love you. And we say, ask your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.